Hello, this is the satirical news source, The Onion, on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I am your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. According to The Onion, it is a satirical newspaper and its associated trademarks and copyrights are published and owned by Global Tetrahedron LLC. The Onion uses fictitious names in all its contents except in cases where public figures are being satirized. Any other use of real names is accidental and coincidental. Let's get started. The first story is gray-lipped JFK Jr. touts body's natural ability to transmute lead into gold. Washington, praising the process as yet another miracle of biology that modern medicine chooses to ignore, a gray-lipped Robert F. Kennedy Jr. spoke at a press conference Wednesday, during which he touted the body's natural ability to transmute lead into gold. The human body is able to do some incredible things if you consume enough lead, said the Secretary of Health and Human Services, noting that even a few drops of colloidal lead every morning could have an effect similar to that produced by the elixirs ancient Egyptians drank for rejuvenation. Once inside you, lead undergoes a natural transformation, creating one of the most valuable medicines in the world. I figure at this point my body is at least 50% gold. I'm more energetic, and gold never corrodes, so you can basically live forever. Kennedy concluded his remarks by swallowing a lead pipe hole and then regurgitating a single gold nugget. In sports, Arch Manning running out of polite ways to decline Eli's mentorship. Austin, Texas. Noting that he already claimed to be sick at a dentist appointment and tied up with an unexpected 9 p.m. football practice, University of Texas quarterback Arch Manning confirmed Tuesday that he was quickly running out of polite, semi-plausible excuses to avoid mentorship from his uncle Eli. He means well, and I don't want to hurt his feelings, but I really don't need him FaceTiming me every day and saying stuff like, "A Super Bowl winner I sense in you, young Padawan," said Manning, adding that while he respects his uncle's experience as a player, he's not exactly chomping at the bit to have a 44-year-old teach him how to chop it and spin it like Chad Powers. It's just kind of embarrassing, you know? Last time he came to one of my games, he kept fist-bumping my teammates and saying he was there to help me unlock my Manning DNA. I had to fake a hamstring injury because he kept trying to run me through footwork drills. I can't keep doing this. At press time, Manning was reportedly hiding out in the training room after Eli showed up unannounced with a stack of old giant playbooks for a little impromptu QB clinic. In entertainment, report. Guy who sings Thriller has bunch of non-Halloween music too. Cleveland. Revealing a vast, forgotten catalog of legitimate pop compositions, a report released Thursday about novelty musical act Michael Joseph Jackson found that the man who recorded the perennial Halloween classic Thriller also had a bunch of non-Halloween music. Jackson is, of course, exclusively known for his haunted hit Thriller and singing spooky lyrics like, "No one's gonna save you from the beast about to strike." But we've discovered that he was actually an extremely prolific, earnest musician, having released 10 full-length, mostly non-horror-related albums in his lifetime, said reporter co-author Rebecca Rubin of Case Western Reserve University's Center for Popular Music Studies, pointing out that while Jackson did record a number of lesser-known Halloween novelty songs like one about a creepy man appearing in the mirror or another about a woman haunted by the villainous smooth criminal, the vast majority of his catalog had no connection to the holiday. Jackson seemed to keep a low profile, and enough photographs suggest he was committed to his ghostly Halloween look year-round. It appears most of his songs do not begin with a werewolf howl. While today Michael Jackson is fondly remembered as a one-hit Halloween artist, we hope this discovery inspires people to look beyond Thriller, or even his trick-or-treating anthem Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, and listen to his more serious works. Representatives for the Jackson estate confirmed plans to upload his full catalog online to introduce music fans to songs other than his Halloween hit, which they revealed was originally performed as a joke. Up next, in economy, economists hope your heart wasn't set on a house. Washington. In an effort to manage the American people's expectations, officials at the National Association for Business Economics announced Wednesday that they hoped your heart wasn't set on a house. We're not saying it's impossible, we're just saying you might want to consider keeping your options open, said Jeffrey Burney, an economics professor at Georgetown University, who acknowledged that while, from a theoretical perspective, a three-bedroom, two-bathroom home would be nice, the economists didn't want the nation to be disappointed if things didn't turn out as expected. There are so many other places you could live: an apartment, the basement or living room of a friend or family member, an RV, or even a roomy car. It would just be heartbreaking if that's what your little savings account turned out to be for. Oh geez, don't tell us that's really what it's for. At press time, economists were gently encouraging Americans to focus on food. Back to news. What to know about data centers? As the use of AI increases, data centers are popping up across the country. The Onion shares everything you need to know about the controversial facilities. Question: what do data centers need to run? Answer: water, electricity, air conditioning, and other resources typically wasted on schools and hospitals. Question: do data centers use a lot of water? Answer: what, are you a fish? Don't worry about it. Question: are data centers regulated? Answer: next month, Congress will hear about data centers for the very first time. Question: do I need to worry about one coming to my town? Answer: only if your town is built on land. Question: how long does it take to build a new data center? Answer: approximately one closed-door city council vote. Question: what's Wi-Fi? Answer: not right now, big guy. Question: what will most data centers house in the future? Answer: raccoon. Back to politics. Trump touts productive call with Putin about ballroom sconces. Washington. Acknowledging that he was impressed by the foreign leader's ability to compromise on all kinds of fixtures, President Donald Trump announced Friday that he had participated in a productive call with Russian President Vladimir Putin about ballroom sconces. We spoke for several hours and made great progress in negotiating whether I should go with a gold or silver finish, Trump said, while examining various wall-mounted lighting options, adding that he was committed to reaching a diplomatic solution in finalizing design of his planned $300 million White House ballroom. You know, Vladimir and I aren't as far apart as critics believe. There's a lot of overlap in terms of our love for a hand-cut crystal, gilded iron, and warm-toned bulbs. This bodes well for when we get to picking chairs. At press time, Trump had reportedly canceled a planned in-person meeting with Putin following a heated disagreement over paint swatches. In local news, man has favorite hot dog place for every level of sobriety. Chicago. Revealing a highly calibrated system that he has fine-tuned over a lifetime of trial and error, local man Ken Stafford told reporters Wednesday that he has a favorite hot dog place for every level of sobriety. Richie's is completely disgusting garbage unless you're absolutely hammered, then it's like the best spot in the world, said Stafford, who in what amounts to years of self-administered longitudinal research, ethnographic fieldwork, and controlled taste trials now has at least 12 go-to dog spots, depending on precisely how intoxicated he is, ranging from tipsy to good enough to drive to completely shit-faced. Mustard Club is delicious for when you are buzzed at lunch, but the place closes at 9 p.m. Their dogs are like $11, and they have vegetables on them. Now, if you want something real quick before heading out to the bars, you'll definitely want to head to Schmitty Dogs and get the Bacon Boy, Trust me, if it's a 2:30 a.m. and you're looking to scarf something down real quick before passing out, you gotta get the cheesy dog at Bun Run. But I can only have one of those when I'm 7 or 8 drinks in. And when you're hungover the next morning, nothing will cure it like the breakfast dog at Chico's. According to third-party data, Stafford's overwhelmingly most visited dog spot was actually the 7-Eleven at the gas station by his apartment. Though he doesn't knowingly consider it a favorite spot, he only goes there when he's completely blackout drunk. Back to sports. Andy Reid urges Chris Jones to soak in hot tub filled with chopped vegetables. Kansas City, Missouri. Insisting it would help the 6-time Pro Bowler recover from the aches and pains of the grueling NFL season, Chiefs head coach Andy Reid reportedly urged star defensive tackle Chris Jones on Wednesday to soak in a piping hot tub filled with chopped carrots, onions, celery, and bay leaves. Hop on in, big guy. I've got this water seasoned just right to soothe and tenderize those sore muscles, said Reid, wearing a chef's hat over his headset, as he stirred the water with a large wooden paddle and periodically added peppercorns, kosher salt, and rosemary to help open up Jones's pores and draw out toxins and flavor. Stay in there for about 8 hours so all these healing ingredients can deeply penetrate your tissue. You'll know you're fully recovered when your internal temperature is around 160 degrees. In the meantime, rub yourself down with this garlic to help with inflammation, and pay no mind if I come over and poke you with a fork from time to time. It's a special acupuncture technique that will really get those savory juices flowing. At press time, witnesses confirmed Reid was licking his lips and adding a couple sticks of butter to the tub as he muttered, "God, you're going to be so nice and tender and ready to play after this," to his slow, braising player. Next, dad shushes family while focused on Jumbotron hat shuffle. Los Angeles. Narrowing his eyes and raising a single finger to silence those around him, local dad Mark Fallon reportedly shushed his entire family Thursday evening while focusing intently on the Jumbotron hat shuffle at Dodger Stadium. Shut up, I need to lock in on this," said Fallon, snapping at his wife and 2 children as he stared unblinkingly at the animated hats, rapidly switching positions on the screen, and tried to keep track of which cap had the ball underneath. "No one talk, I gotta win this. It's under the left hat. Wait, no, middle hat. Back to left hat. Almost had it. Everyone please shut up till this is done." According to witnesses, Fallon later pumped his fist in triumph and claimed to have correctly chosen the left hat despite having shouted right just before the ball was revealed. You're listening to the satirical news source, The Onion, on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I am your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. Up next, new study finds elephants mourn cancellation of favorite TV shows. New Haven, Connecticut. Shedding light on the animal's compassionate nature and pop culture savvy, a study published Wednesday in the Journal of Behavioral Ecology and Social Biology found that elephants mourn the cancellation of their favorite TV shows. The research we conducted over the course of many years in Botswana confirmed that elephants experience a period of deep sorrow when Hollywood executives pull the plug on their most beloved dramas, comedies, and competition reality series, said study co-author and Yale University zoologist Charlotte Pham, adding that the behavior was first observed in 1983 when a group of African bush elephants solemnly formed a circle around a TV to watch the last episode of MASH. They performed complex grieving rites, such as showing reverence for the sex of lives of college girls by covering the DVD box set with dirt and branches. Elephants form lasting relationships with TV shows over the seasons and consistently return to the grassland spot where they first learned of the cancellation of Suits, LA, to pay their respects. In addition, the creatures use their advanced cognitive abilities to wage complex online campaigns aimed at getting The Equalizer back on the air. It is perhaps the most haunting phenomena in all of nature. The study also found that elephants hold a separate mourning ritual years after a show's cancellation, in which they invite their buddies over to watch old episodes and reminisce about their youth. In news, God could have sworn he put more gorillas down there. The heavens. Expressing confusion over the primates' classification as an endangered species on the planet, God our Lord and Heavenly Father announced Monday that he could have sworn he put more gorillas down there. How are there fewer than 6,000 of the eastern lowland ones left when I swear I made Earth like half gorillas? The Creator of all things said as he repeatedly counted the remaining great apes from a cloud, but failed to reach a total that made any sense to him. Where the hell did they all go? Did I put some in South America by mistake? This is so weird. I thought I created billions of those. After tiring of his search, God concluded that most of the gorillas down there probably just evolved into guys. Up next, Home Depot introduces new 12-foot William Dafoe. Atlanta. Saying the novelty decoration would add the perfect touch to Halloween yard displays, the Home Depot announced Friday it had begun selling a new 12-foot tall William Dafoe in stores nationwide. October just got a whole lot spookier with their exclusive oversized William Dafoe ornament, read the product's promotional copy, which emphasized that the massive high-density polyurethane recreation of the Platoon in Antichrist star would be towering over trick-or-treaters after just a few minutes of assembly. Great for haunted houses, front yards, or anywhere you want to terrify people with the BAFTA and Golden Globe Award winners' unsettling grimace and misty blue eyes. Plus, built-in LEDs ensure the whole neighborhood can see that distinctive tooth gap. At press time, the Home Depot had reportedly removed the decorative Dafoe from shelves after numerous parents complained the actor's face had given their children nightmares. Up next, researchers identified a gene responsible for visualizing murder after touching missing person's sweater. Stanford, California. Shedding new light on a rare trait's origins, researchers at the Stanford School of Medicine announced Friday that they had successfully identified the gene responsible for giving individuals the ability to visualize a murder when they touch a missing person's sweater. Through extensive DNA analysis, we have finally isolated the sequence of base pairs that encodes for the power to hold a cardigan and see in one's mind flashes of a young woman being stabbed to death in a ravine, said geneticist Kathy Mendoza, explaining that the gene, which is found in all people who can peer into a mysterious alternate reality using what members of their family have for generations called the gift, had been located on the human genome's 11th chromosome. Those who possess this gene are, from the moment they touch a cuff of a sweater, plunged into a shadowy world parallel to our own, in which the killer's footprints are highlighted in bright color and lead directly to the body. We are now markedly closer to understanding the complex role these genes play in aiding law enforcement who have exhausted all other options. The researchers confirmed plans to continue their work by investigating the potential of gene editing in lab mice and have demonstrated the ability to communicate with a murder victim's ghost. Up next, in baseball, teammates unnerved as interpreter begins referring to Ohtani as the host. Los Angeles. Describing the mood in the clubhouse as eerie and ominous, several members of the Los Angeles Dodgers told reporters Tuesday they have become increasingly unnerved since Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, Will Ireton, began referring to the two-way superstar as the host. According to team resources, Ireton's relationship with Ohtani has taken on a different, more reverential dynamic in the past few weeks, with his translations often feeling less like direct quotes and more like cryptic proclamations. when a reporter recently asked how Ohtani's elbow was recovering after an outing, the three-time MVP looked skyward and spoke for nearly 5 minutes before Ireton, eyes cast downward and hands clasped at his waist, cleared his throat to translate. The host's form is but a fleeting shell, his body a vessel for what must come. At first thought, the host was just a nickname from Japan or something, and we didn't think much of it, said Dodgers right fielder Hernandez, adding that players were unsettled by Ohtani speaking in a mixture of Japanese and an unknown archaic language while Ireton loomed behind him, jotting down curious glyphs in a notebook. But then Will started saying stuff like, the host will soon conquer more than baseball, and the host must not taste defeat, lest his fury blacken the sky. It's weird, man. In recent weeks, members of the Dodgers organization have observed a disquieting shift in Ohtani's behavior, noting that his warm-up routine now feels like a series of solemn rites, and that he declines to read scouting reports in favor of conferring with the veil. He is said to spend hours before each game carefully rotating the team's batting helmets to face a precise direction, and when a celebrating teammate offers Ohtani a high five, Ireton glides between the players and murmurs, "Cleanse first." Sources also confirm that before each game, Ohtani enters the dugout and constructs a small mound of dirt, pine tar, and sunflower seeds, which teammates claim is always fairly faint, warm to the touch. Ireton reportedly refers to this mound as the seedbed and has described it as the keystone of what he calls the ascension, a term Ohtani now invokes many times daily with increasing urgency. The ascension, the ascension, the ascension. He's always going on about the ascension, said first baseman Freddie Freeman, admitting he was baffled by Ohtani tracing an ancient symbol on his forehead and sprinkling rosin in a spiral over his cleats. I asked him what it meant, and he just smiled. Then Will said, the hour grows near when all will know. The ascension stirs beneath the red soil. It really made me uncomfortable. Several teammates have reported experiencing peculiar dreams after sitting next to Ohtani in the dugout. Shohei told me in a dream that I was cherished and that we'd be together in the ascension, pitcher Clayton Kershaw said. He said, the vessel strengthens with each offering of a strike. Then he fed me a glowing piece of double bubble and said I had been cleansed. After that, I woke up on the floor of my hotel room covered in salt. It was so bizarre, Kershaw added, but I went on to pitch my best game of the season the following day. Despite the unusual conduct, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts insisted that Ohtani's habits fall in line with baseball's long tradition of player eccentricities. You know, some guys are superstitious, some wear the same socks every game, some won't step on the baseline chalk, said Roberts, revealing that Ohtani had dug little holes in the infield dirt and whispered about summoning a new dawn. This is the same sort of thing. As long as he keeps crushing the ball and throwing strikes, I don't see a problem. However, team sources expressed concern about a recent away game in Philadelphia during which Ohtani became visibly distressed upon seeing the Philly fanatic gyrating in front of the dugout. Witnesses said he clutched his head in agony and cried, "The shape is wrong. The vessel is mocking me," causing the stadium lights to flicker and all the bats in the dugout to fall off the racks and roll toward the seedbed. Ohtani then exited the game, sparking injury concerns. While the Dodgers declined media requests to speak with Ohtani after the game, his interpreter emerged at a press conference. The host prepares for the ascension, Ireton said in a trembling voice, his face pale and slick with sweat. He must remain beneath wet towels until the moon completes its arc. Soon the bases will clear and the final inning will be played. The host awaits on deck. At press time, the infield dirt began to smolder and throb, and foul poles swayed in the windless sky. Back to politics. Diplomatic talks break down between Trump, motion-activated ghost decoration, Washington, and what they described as a disappointing turn in the ongoing negotiations. White House officials confirmed Wednesday that diplomatic talks broke down between President Donald Trump and a motion-activated ghost decoration. the president has done everything he can to find common ground with our historic ally, but the animatronic apparition refuses to cooperate, said Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, adding that Trump immediately raised concerns when the plastic specter showed up to the White House dressed very disrespectfully in filthy tattered rags and cobwebs. Instead of engaging in a civil conversation, the ghost just kept howling over everything the president said, repeating the phrases, "Who goes there?" and "Leave this place if you want to live." The president approached the creepy skull-faced wraith several times with generous multi-billion-dollar offers, but was met with nothing more than a frantic waving of bony arms. "We do not take these insults lightly, and America will not back down." Diplomatic observers warned the breakdown in relations could threaten U.S. interests, allowing the giant hairy spider with red LED eyes to swoop in and increase its soft power across the globe. In science, biologists announce there is absolutely nothing we can learn from clams. Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Saying they saw no conceivable reason to bother with the bivalve mollusks, biologists at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute announced Thursday that there was absolutely nothing to be learned from clams. "Our studies have found that while some of their shells look pretty cool, clams really don't have anything to teach us," said the organization's chief scientist, Francis Dawkins, clarifying that it wasn't simply the case that researchers had already learned everything they could from clams, but rather that there had never been anything to learn from them and never would be. "We certainly can't teach them anything. It's not like you can train them to run through a maze the way you would with mice. We've tried, and they pretty much just lie there. From what I've observed, they have a lot more in common with rocks than they do with us. They're technically alive, I guess, if you want to call that living. They open and close sometimes, but I mean, so does a wallet. If you've used a wallet, you know more or less all there is to know about clams. Pretty boring." The finding follows a study conducted by marine biologists last summer that concluded clams don't have much flavor either, tasting pretty much the same as everything else on a fried seafood platter. Up next, "Thank you for that question," responds Eric Adams to swarm of rats he forced to act out debate. New York. Expressing gratitude for the opportunity to correct the record against his opponents, current New York City mayor and former candidate for re-election, Eric Adams, reportedly said that, "Thank you for that question," Thursday to a group of rats he had captured and forced to act out a private debate in his Gracie Mansion bedroom. "It's interesting you ask me that, Mr. Moderator. I certainly would have to say that the best part of New York is its people," said Adams, who paused to grab one of the rats he had sewn into a tiny suit and tie, repositioning it behind a small cardboard podium before it could scurry away. "What was that? Why, yes, I did have a wonderful trip to Albania. I met with many business leaders to discuss new opportunities for New York. I'm happy to talk about these things, unlike some of the politicians on this stage who are too busy nibbling on their cheese cubes to bother answering your questions." After the debate ended, sources confirmed, Adams was furious with the poor polling among the cockroaches he had dressed up as constituents. That's all we have time for. This is The Onion, the satirical news source on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I am your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. Music is Just Breaking by David Fezlian. Join us next time for an upcoming episode.